This new moon message is going to go back to five things that we need to commit to Yahweh. And the first is we got to commit our time. The second is we got to commit our temple. And the third is we got to commit our talent. And the fourth is we're going to commit our testimony. And the fifth, we commit our treasures. I brought this out in a previous message when I preached about your moral compass. But the key to these five steps will lead us into a closer walk with Almighty Yahweh. I said then, you don't have the power to obey until you make the choice to obey. And a lot of people are struggling with keeping the commandments. And their problem is they have not made that choice. Once you make the choice, it no longer becomes a struggle. It's just a matter of doing. For our first scripture on committing your time to Almighty Yahweh, which is the first section we'll deal with, turn to Leviticus chapter 19. And we'll read verses 1 to 4.
Conference muted.
And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. And that Sabbath is plural. So it's not just a weekly Sabbath. This is talking about the high Sabbaths. It's talking about the sabbatical years. It's talking about the Jubilees. This is talking about all of Yahweh's Sabbaths. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. He stamps it with his name. Turn not to idols, nor make to yourselves molten Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. He doesn't want his people going after the pagan mighty ones. We have to put Almighty Yahweh first in our lives. That's the first thing that we have to do when we accept the covenant relationship. He has to come first. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 and 5, which is from the Shema, as far as back to committing your time. It says, hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, if we do this, if we love Almighty Yahweh with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, then we are willing to do whatever he commands us. There's nothing that he asks us to do that we wouldn't be willing to do. The second step is committing your temple to Yahweh. For our first scripture there, turn over to 11, Leviticus 11. Chapter 11. And this is basically talking about the clean food laws. But when we commit ourselves to Almighty Yahweh, we don't want to pollute our temple. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatever has a split hoof completely divided, and choose the cud among the beasts, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that have a split hoof, the camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof. It is unclean to you. And the coney, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you. And the hare, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you, and the swine, because it has a split hoof, completely divided, but choose not to cut, it is unclean to you. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. These may you eat of all that are in the waters, whatever has fins and scales, in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, that you may eat. So a catfish we can't eat because it doesn't have scales. It has fins, but no scales. It says, and of all the living creatures that are in the waters, they are an abomination to you, and they shall be an abomination. These are the ones that do not have fins and scales, the total combination. And they shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, and their carcasses you shall have an abomination. Whatever has no fins nor scales in the water, that is an abomination to you. And these you shall have an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, the eagle, the gear eagle, the black vulture, and the kite, and the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, and the ostrich, the nighthawk, and the sea mew, and the hawk after its kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the horned owl, and the pelican, and the vulture, and the stork, and the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat. All winged creeping things that go upon all fours are an abomination to you. Yet these may you eat of all the winged creeping things that go on all fours, which have legs above their feet, with which to leap upon the earth. Even these of them you may eat, the locust after its kind, the ball locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, the grasshopper after its kind. But all winged creeping things which have 4 feet are an abomination to you. And by these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening. And whoever bears anything of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Every beast that has a split hoof, not completely divided, or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone that touches them shall be unclean. And whatever goes upon its paws among all beasts, they go on all fours, they are unclean to you. Whoever touches their carcass shall be unclean until the evening. And he that bears the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean to you. And these are they which are unclean to you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the great lizard after its kind and the gecko and the land crocodile and the lizard, and the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are they that are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until the evening. And on whatever any of them, when they are dead, falls, it shall be unclean, whether it is any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatever vessel it is with which any work is done, it must be put in the water, and it shall be unclean until the evening. Then shall it be clean. And see, people don't look at it that closely. They don't look at things that minutely, because it's talking about if any of these things are dead and they fall and touch a wooden vessel or your raiment, your clothing, or your skin or a sack or whatever vessel it is, with which any work is done, it must be put in the water, and it shall be clean or unclean until evening, then it shall be clean. And every earthen vessel into which any of them falls, whatever is in it shall be unclean, and you shall break it. All food in it which may be eaten, that on which water comes, shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything on which any part of their carcass falls shall be unclean. whether oven or range for pots, it shall be broken in pieces. They are unclean and shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, a fountain or a pit in which is a gathering of water shall be clean, but that which touches the carcass shall be unclean. And if anything of their carcasses falls on any sowing seed which is to be sown, it is clean. But if the water is put on the seed and anything of their carcass falls thereon, it is unclean to you. And if any beast of which you may eat dies, he that touches the carcasses of it shall be unclean until the evening. And he that eats of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Also he that bears the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth is an abomination. It shall not be eaten, whatever goes upon the belly, and whatever goes upon all fours, or whatever has many feet, even all creeping things that creep on the earth. Them you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable for any creeping thing, with any creeping thing that creeps. Neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled by it. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. Sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. So Yahweh wants us to be separated, sanctified, separated for a holy purpose. For I am holy. So because Yahweh is holy, he wants us to be holy as well. This is the law of the beast and of the bird and of every living creature that moves in the waters and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. So Yahweh is asking us, okay, to be circumspect, to separate ourselves from the things that are unclean, not to defile ourselves. Now, committing your temple to Almighty Yahweh, the second scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 16 and read 16 and 17. It says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of Yahweh, Yahweh shall destroy him. For the temple of Yahweh is holy, and you are such." So that's something that we have to constantly keep in the forefront of our mind. What makes you uniquely special to Yahweh? That's what he wants from you, brethren. Whether it's your singing, you know, whatever talent, that's the third thing. Commit your talent. Whether you can sing, whether you can, you know, give praises of whatever type, preaching, whether you're good with children, whatever it is that you have that you can commit to Yahweh, whatever talent he's given you. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not wish to have you ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were led away to those dumb idols." And that's why we were in Leviticus 19 telling us not to follow the idols, however you might be led. "Therefore I make known to you that no man speaking in the spirit of Yahweh says Yahweh is anathema or accursed. And no man can say Yahshua is the master but in the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given to his people who obey," Acts 5:32. "The Holy Spirit is given to them that obey." So when other people are out there saying that they have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, whether they're Christians or whatever, if they're not keeping the Sabbath, if they're not keeping the commandments, they're lying. They don't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit because he gives his spirit to them that obey. And the same thing with spiritual gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration and the same Master. And there are diversities of workings, but the same Elohim who works all in all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all, everyone. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing in the one Spirit, and to another the workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discernment of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, languages, and to another the interpretation of languages. But all these works the same Spirit, dividing to each one individually as it will. So each of us has a purpose. Each of us has a talent that Yahweh wants us to use for his honor and glory. And this is why you have to figure out what it is that you do that is from Yahweh, that you want to do, that you like to do, and perfect it, which means you have to practice it. Verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Messiah. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Yahweh is not divided, brethren. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' it is not therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now has Yahweh set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts have no need, but Yahweh tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And there should be no schism in the body." So that means we should be all one, whether we're in Kenya, whether we in California, whether we in Pennsylvania, Alabama, Missouri, wherever, we should all be one. It says, "But that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of the Messiah, and individually are members of it. And Yahweh has set some in the assembly, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But desire earnestly the greater gifts. And moreover, I show you a most excellent way." So Yahweh wants us to desire the greater gifts so that we will be able to serve the body. So, you know, some of us have to pray for the gift of healing, or, you know, the gift of teaching, or some of the others being able to understand languages. You know, and these things, once we understand them, we're able to use them for Yahweh's honor and glory. Okay? Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. It says, "And you shall speak to all the wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garment to sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office." Okay? Now, Exodus 36. Exodus verse 36, verse 1. It says, "And Bezalel and Aholiab shall work, and every wise-hearted man in whom Yahweh has put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all the work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that Yahweh has commanded." So what he has done, he has given this wisdom to certain individuals so that they would be able to build the things needed in the sanctuary, that they would be able to make the garments, the holy garments, for Aaron the high priest and his sons, the leaders. So Yahweh blesses you when you commit your talent to him. Number four, commit your testimony. That's turn to Matthew 24:14. Each one of us has a testimony, brethren. And we have to commit that to Almighty Yahweh. It's for his honor and glory and his purpose that we have that testimony, which means that whatever you've been through in your life, when you witness to someone and you give your testimony, you're doing it for Yahweh's honor and glory. Now, that's Matthew 24, and we'll look at verse 14. It says, "And these good tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then shall the end come." So the end cannot come until the testimony is given. So each of us has a testimony that we have to give. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 12. Romans 12:12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer." We have to utilize what Yahweh has given us, and that is his Holy Spirit. His Spirit is going to allow us to fulfill each and every one of these. So our testimony that he has given us is what we need to give back to him. And number five, and our final, is commit your testimony. Okay? Malachi chapter 3, I mean, testimony, your treasure, commit your treasure. Malachi 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now with this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, but neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, says Yahweh of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightful land, says Yahweh of hosts." And our final scripture is going to be taken from Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, and we'll start in verse 8. Romans 13, 8, it says, "Owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to wake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, and do not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Our treasure should be in heaven. Our treasure should be the kingdom of Yahweh, which is what we seek. And if we love Almighty Yahweh, like we say, we're going to keep all of his commandments and commit our ways, our time, our temple, our talent, our testimony, and our treasure to him. And may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you that have committed yourselves to Almighty Yahweh. Now, I gave you an assignment about a month ago for everyone to read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. Now, I ordered about five of them, say about a week ago or whatever, or at least I, you know, sent it. I'll put it like that. So soon I'll have copies. And I know this is really, I gave that assignment not just to see who would do it, but for a blessing for the brethren, because it teaches certain principles that each of us have to be able to know to implement into our lives. It doesn't matter where you are financially. The principles apply. If we apply those principles, we're going to receive a blessing from it. That's the reason I asked everyone to get the book. It's only 85 pages, and it is powerful. It's one of the most powerful books you'll ever read. Now, and it was written 3,500 years ago, but they have a modern twist to it. So, you know, try to get the book. If you can't, let me know, and I'll try to get your copy. Your library will have it if you just go to the library, but it's worthwhile reading. And once everybody kind of finishes it, I'm going to actually deal with it. I'm going to do a Bible study on it in the near future. And this is one of the reasons I gave that assignment about a month ago about reading it. Actually, whenever I preached the message on the moral compass. So I don't know how many weeks ago that was, but like I said, get the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. It's by Clausen, and you'll be blessed. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Winston if he would close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your instruction book to mankind that will make us wise, strong, healthy, blameless in your sight by keeping your word, learning of you more and more, thanking and appreciating your Son who gave his life for us, because without that, we would not even be here. But we remember, Father, your covenant. We remember your ways and laws and Yahweh, we love you dearly. Love you. So, Father Yahweh, please be continue our spiritual growth learning. Imitate Yahshua, because we know we can never go wrong if we can come out of this wicked worldly system and learn your ways. Thank you again for everything you do for us. And please, again, remember those on the prayer list and forget them not. Remember the ministry. Bless all the brothers and sisters, may be. Because we know you see everything, one in everything. Ask the Yahshua's name that I ask this prayer and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.